You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
We can let them soak into us and let them change us, let them mold us into who you want us to be. God, I pray that these words will help us respond and do your work and praise you and lift up your name and love you and thirst for you. God, I just pray that if there's something that just the reading of your word would just impact hearts tonight. God, move me out of the way as I try to deliver this message. And I just pray that you would get the glory in all things. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're in, like I said, Psalm 143. It's 12 verses. I'm going to go through and read the first all 12 verses, and then we're going to take them in chunks, kind of as I normally do. But this psalm is talking about, the title of it is, My Soul Thirsts for You. And we'll see kind of why here in just a second. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me, and my heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Hear me in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for I lift up my soul. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. So, what is this kind of saying? I mean, the general thing is that it says a psalm of David. David feels far from God, or probably he feels like God is far from him. He's asking God to answer. He kind of feels like maybe God's not listening to him. For some reason, he feels abandoned because he's wanting God to answer him quickly. He's wanting him to hear his prayer. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. Deliver me from my enemies. Maybe he's under attack. I mean, he specifically says in verses 3, for the enemy has pursued my soul. And that's what we're going to talk about first. In verses 3 it says, for the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. Sometimes we find ourselves distant from God, and it's usually It's either two things, obviously. It's a lot of little things, which is, in my opinion, the more sneaky way to feel separation from God, or it's the big, obvious things. You know, so for some of us who we all have addictive personalities, but for some of us who feel more bent to, addictions that kind of overcome us, we just know that we're gravitated towards, whether it's drinking, whatever it is. Those are the things that it's an obvious thing, you know, as soon as you, especially if you have been an alcoholic, you know, as soon as you take your first sip, it's like a downhill slope. It's not one little mistake. Well, it is probably a little mistake if it's just one little sip, but you know that you have not far to go after that one little sip. You're going downhill fast. And then you have people which, like I said, still have addictive personalities, but probably would say they're more the matured Christian, maybe, I guess is what you could say. And so they're going to do little things, like maybe little things that distract them, whether it's, I know for me it's filling my life with all the things that today has, things that aren't necessarily bad for you, but definitely take time that you could be spending in the Word. So, for instance, like social media. Things like that, whether it's a game on your phone, whether it's Wordle. Have any of y'all played Wordle? Y'all, it's like a sweeping the nation. Y'all should do it. It's fun. Actually, I'm just talking about we shouldn't do stuff like that. But all those kind of things. Normally, 99% of those things come from my phone. We don't have TV in our house. It's not like a thing where we vowed to never have TV. What I'm saying is we don't pay for cable. Because we didn't really watch TV a lot. We just kind of had the Netflix or our kids watch Disney Plus. And that's pretty much, I'm not going to get on a tangent, but that's what's played 99% of the time. And it drives you crazy. It makes you want to read a Bible because you just want to escape from hearing Disney Princess movies for the 500th time. Anyways, sorry, I'm venting to y'all. I shouldn't do that. But we don't have TV. There's not much that distracts us from the TV. If I want to watch something on TV, it's something that it's premeditated for me. I'm not normally perusing through channels to just find something to watch. But on the other hand, there's things on my phone like Facebook, or I'm always trying to learn something new. So YouTube is a big thing for me. I like to watch videos of like guys building beehives, and like I've never built a beehive in my life, but I've probably watched a couple hours of how to build a beehive. Like, I don't know why I do that kind of stuff, but that's the kind of stuff that, you know, normally kind of draws me in. That's what I waste my time with. And I feel like those are a bunch of little things. Learning how to build a beehive is not necessarily a bad thing, but the more I fill my life with learning how to build beehives, with seeing what people are doing on Facebook, with listening to this new song that somebody wrote, with watching this process of how to record a song on YouTube, and I do all these things on my phone, I'm not spending time with God. So inching and inching and inching, it's minutes and minutes and minutes, of me getting separated farther and farther from God. Most of the time when we are separated from God, it's not that God is distant from us, it's that we've put the distance between us and God. And like I said, the big things are like, even though it's one little sip, you know, there's more of a chunk of time that you have, you know, wasted or given over to whatever you're slave to. It doesn't have to be alcohol, it could be whether you have an addiction to looking at inappropriate images or anything like that. You have big things and you have little things. And the little things eat away at you bite by bite, and the big things will take a big chunk out of your life real quick. But that's the thing. The enemy is always pursuing your soul. The enemy is always after you. The enemy always wants to put you down on the ground where you can't get up. He wants you to sit in darkness. He wants you to feel like you're alone. He wants you to feel like you're defeated. And I can sense this. Like I said, I feel like in David's case, it's something detrimental. Like he's done something really wrong and it hit him all at once. Which we know that David had a lot of things for him to write this psalm that he could definitely, we could say, well, that could have been maybe when you sent the guy to die so that you could marry his wife. That's probably pretty messed up. So there's things that David did in his life. Maybe those things happen in our lives too. But I feel like the majority for my life, at least in this season right now, is just the little things chipping away at me. But the enemy is just secretly putting that separation between me and God. And I can normally sense it. Like when I'm just kind of at a point, like when I don't know how to measure the distance from me and God, but whether I'm at like 4 feet or 100 feet or a mile, but you can just kind of feel this I don't know, this dryness, this funk that you're in. You kind of wake up and you're just, you know, you're not really in the best of moods. You're not necessarily in a bad mood, but you're not necessarily in a good mood. You're kind of on autopilot. You're not, you know, nothing's really making you extremely happy, but nothing's really making you sad. You're just kind of like in this apathetic, melancholy, it's probably not a great word, but like a bad melancholy, just, you know, a funk, if you know what I mean. And I just feel dry. I feel like I'm not being fed. I feel like there's no color in my life. Things start turning gray. Like I said, I'm an artist, so I think like visually. So I just always feel like my life is just dry at those points. I'm going into excruciating detail, but don't you sense those moments? Those moments where you just feel distant from God? Well, David here cries out. He's saying, "Answer me quickly. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love." So he's reaching out to God. But in this moment, the first thing that you think of is starting in verse 5. He says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." So first he realizes he's distant. Then he realizes the enemy has put that distance in between him and God. And now David is saying, "I remember the days of old." He's saying, "I remember the good days." For us, we can think back to maybe just start of our relationship with God, our salvation experience, that moment that God stepped in and changed our lives forever. Or maybe a season where we can look back and see how God worked through a period of time in our lives, or how God kept us through and held us through a very difficult time in our life. We think about those times that God has been there in our lives. And when we remember those times, we remember that sweetness, that closeness that we were to God. And therefore, what is that response? Okay, I'm distant from God. I remember these good times that I was with God. I need to get back with God. Right? It just prompts that simple answer. I'm dry. I remember the times where I wasn't. Now I need to get back close to God. We feel empty and distant because our soul is always wanting to be filled with something. Like I said, whether it's addiction, whether we live in a culture. I mean, that's why our culture is created the way it was. It was always going to end up the way that it is now. And that is, I probably say this all the time, but if you want a hamburger, you can drive up to the drive-thru, and I mean, Lord willing, it would take you 5 minutes. If it takes you 10, you're probably complaining about it, but you got a hamburger in 10 minutes. Like, you know, you don't have to go kill a cow. You don't have to go cut the meat. You don't have to go grind it up. You don't have to then throw it on a grill. Oh, wait, I don't have a grill. You have to make the grill. Then you have to make the coals to go on the grill to make the grill hot. Then you got to put the seasoning on if you want it to taste good. Then you got to get the bun. So to get the bun, you got to get the grain. I don't have to go through all that, right? You can get a hamburger and, like I said, you'll complain about it, but 10 minutes. If you want to watch your favorite childhood movie and you have an Amazon Fire Stick, you can literally hold up your remote and say, "Hey, Alexa, play Home Alone." And boom, it'll say, "You want to play Home Alone? It'll cost you $2. And you're like, "What's $2? Let's watch that." And so you can have the movie that you want in seconds through internet in your home. You don't have to go to a DVD store. You don't have to see if it's on the shelf at Walmart. You can have things that you want right now. Information. We have Google on your phone. You can find out anything that you want to find out. You can read the Bible in any translation you want to read the Bible in. Our culture is made to satisfy us, to feed our emptiness of wanting more. And that's the same thing of drugs. Every drug addict didn't really wake up and say, "Man, I just really want to be addicted to pills, or I just really want to do meth." Every drug addict has a void in their life, has a something they're trying to mask or something they're trying to fill, and the experience that they get, the high that they get, the whatever, the lows that they get, is because they're trying to fill that void. You look at some of our famous movie stars like Robin Williams. Every movie that I've seen that Robin Williams has been in has either been funny or has been like, you know, I don't know if y'all like Robin Williams, but like Patch Adams and like Dead Poets Society, like those life-changing, really make you think movies. And that guy died of suicide because he was depressed. And literally his movies did nothing but inspire and make people happy. So you literally look at somebody who is who is well-known, makes a living off of comedy and inspiration, and yet he still feels empty. He has all the money, he knows how to make people laugh, but yet he still feels empty. Our soul thirsts for something. It always will thirst for something. And that's the thing, is we're always looking to fill it, but the distance can make us go one of two ways. It can make us go towards a sinful desire that can temporarily fill it, or it can make us want to run back to God, who's the ultimate person that will ultimately fill everything. But I feel like when we're distant, sometimes you don't really know until you like turn around. Like I said, you kind of can sense it. Something just happened. Silas, our 1 and 4 months, that's probably wrong, but he's not much over a year old. He will, if I want Silas to come to me, I don't say, Silas, come here. I say, Silas, bye-bye. And then you can hear his little feet, do-do-do-do-do, he's running, because Silas does not want to be left anywhere by himself. If Silas comes into your room and you just walk out of the room, he is going to throw a fit because he knows, he sees the distance from you. Here's the even better thing. So I dropped Silas off in there, strategically found a toy. I said, oh, look at this toy. It's cool. It's got a little wheel on it. I set the toy down. I set Silas down facing away from the door. Okay? I'm smart like this. Okay? Y'all can learn from me. Y'all are all older than me. You probably have kids that are my age, so I don't know what I'm trying to teach you how to parent. Anyways, he's facing away from the door. I set him down, and then I slowly back away and run out the door. Okay? Well, when I walked in here, I saw Silas's passy was sitting right here. So I was like, oh, I need to probably go bring that to him. The reason why I set him in the door is because he doesn't see me leave. He doesn't realize I'm not there. And by the time his little mind can focus on probably about 30 seconds to a minute to 2 minutes, I'm gone. He's like, oh, you know, he was never there. I forgot he even exists. I'm just going to play with my toy. Well, I had to bring the passy in. And as soon as I brought the passy in, I was trying to be quiet. And then one of the teachers was like, oh, we don't use that. And so I said, oh, can you just put it in his backpack then? Well, as soon as he heard my voice, I tried to be quiet. As soon as he heard my voice, he turned around. And that lip poked out. And he like got up and was like, ah, and started crying. He realized at that moment that I was gone, but he didn't realize the distance until he turned around and saw, oh wait, my dad had left. And I feel like that's us in the same point. We sometimes will get so distracted in what we're doing, whether it's our day-to-day, whether it's what we see on social media, or maybe we're purposely distracting ourselves, that we turn around, we sit down, we're playing with whatever, and until we just barely hear God's voice or remember something that God has done, remembering the days of old, we then turn around and realize how far we are from God. So what did Silas do? He didn't just say, oh, there's my dad. I'm going to go back to what I'm doing. No, he cried out for his dad. Answer me quickly. In verse 7, it says, oh, Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. Make me know in the way I should go, for I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. So I got two more things. Like I said, maybe y'all don't remember when you were an infant and you missed your parents, but I feel like everybody can remember this kind of scene. So you're on the beach, you kind of go far out, you're sitting on floaties, you're talking to your friends or doing whatever, or maybe you're just jumping over the waves. Well, it seems like you're not out there very long, and you look back, and it's like first you walk straight out, and your little home camp, your family is here, and then you're like playing, you know, and maybe about 30 minutes later, you're like, well, that's weird, now they're over there. And then it's like 30 more minutes, and then you're like, well, they're way down there. And so you see at this moment, you see, okay, I haven't really felt like I'm moving, but I can obviously see the distance between me and my family. So what do? You either go back to where you started. The other thing is, if you've ever been in the woods at night, I don't know if you've ever been in the woods at night, but if you went in the woods at night with a flashlight, without a flashlight, you've made a big mistake, okay? I've been in the woods coming back from, I guess it had to have been an evening hunt, and I think we were looking for a deer that I probably shot and missed, which makes sense. But me and my dad was walking, it was a pipeline, so he said, you walk this way, come straight back, and I'll walk this way and come straight back. Well, you know, it can kind of get dark on you quick. So I was walking. Well, as I was coming back, it just gets pitch black. You can't see anything, okay? I didn't have a flashlight. I had a cell phone, but it wasn't an iPhone. It didn't have a flashlight on it. So my next thing to do is, okay, I can't see my dad. I can't see where the opening of the wood line is. I don't have a flashlight. I can't read the stars. I'm not an Indian, so I can't put my ear to the ground and figure out the way home. So I'm going to do what? I'm going to call out to my dad. So, Dad, where are you? Oh, I'm right here. So then I'm listening to his voice, and I'm coming back. Why does David do what he do? He wants God to answer him quickly because he knows as soon as he calls out to God, he can listen to his voice, and God will lead him back to where he needs to be, which is where? Close to God. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Verse 9. So two more things and then we'll be done. So he realizes that he's away from God. He calls out to be close to God. What made him away from God? Sin. The enemy is trying to take his soul. What does he ask God to do? It doesn't say send reinforcements. Hey, I'm down here, God, send reinforcements. No, he cries out to God and he says, deliver me from my enemies. I have fled to you. I'm moving to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. A lot of us, especially, I guess, in the guy camp, you know, our culture has led us to believe that being a strong man of God means that you're supposed to be muscular and take care of things yourself and only call out to God when you absolutely are at your wit's end and have nothing else to do. But really, the Bible is saying, as soon as you're strong in God when you're weak in yourself. Your weakness of leaning on to God for every little thing makes you strong as a man. And that's what David is saying right here. He's saying, deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. He's not saying, God, send reinforcements, send somebody to bomb these people. I need a chopper. He's saying, I'm coming to you for refuge. You will help me defeat my enemies. My enemies are trying to take over me. There's nothing that I can do to defeat them. There's nothing that you can do to defeat your addiction on your own. There's nothing you can do to defeat whatever sin stronghold you're trying to defeat on your own. You might feel like you can go to or read some book about how to get over whatever addiction you have, or maybe you're just like, hey, I'm just going to start putting my phone down. Putting my phone in the kitchen at night so I don't look at things I'm not supposed to, or maybe you're saying, well, this is my last pack of cigarettes I'm going to smoke, or maybe, I'm not going to buy another can of dip after this. You think that you can find your way to get out of whatever addiction that you're stuck with, but in reality, nothing in your own strength can defeat what you're up against. Only God can. Only going to God as your refuge, God can destroy your enemy. God can help you. How does he help you? By teaching me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me. So once we're back with God, what do? We don't run away from God again. We don't create that distance again. We follow God. We follow where God's going. And then in verse 11, it said, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. So, just to recap again, like I haven't gone from the top to bottom six times. Sorry, I think of things in my mind, I'm like, they're probably like, what is this guy doing? I probably shouldn't say that either, but you know, sorry. That's all I can say is sorry. So, the enemy has gotten us. We've reached out to God. We remember the times when we were close to God. We've reached out to God. We've ran back to God. God is helping us defeat our enemies, okay? But at this moment, you know, just the fact of seeking refuge does not defeat your enemies, right? You can defeat a group of soldiers, but there's probably another group of soldiers coming. You've gotten through maybe a season where you felt like you've done it on your own, but I can guarantee you another season's coming. There's something else that's going to tempt you. You've gotten through a hard season where you've had to deal with struggle, but I guarantee you another hard season is coming where you're going to deal with loss, where you're going to deal with struggle, where there's going to be sin that tries to grip your life. But right here is where David is talking about what we have eternally through God. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. What is our life? Our life is from the moment that we're born to the moment that we're dead. God is going to preserve his life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. He doesn't say you will hold back with one hand. He doesn't say you will maintain. He says you will cut off my enemies. My enemies will be done. And you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. So the whole thing that this psalm is saying is God has really created this thing inside of us as Christians to know when we're far from God. I mean, the whole title of the psalm is, my soul thirsts for you. When we're close with God, yes, our soul still thirsts, but you're not thirsty until you don't have the water. I mean, once you're close to the source, nobody's going to be sitting next to a water fountain drinking water and saying, man, I'm really thirsty. People that are away from a water fountain or away from a water source that haven't had water are saying that I'm thirsty. God has put in us, every single one of us, a desire that our heart is empty if we're not being filled by the things of God. Our heart is empty if we're filling our things with Facebook, social media, what's happening on the news, what's happening in the world. The more we fill that hole with everything the world has to offer, the more we're just filling an empty void that'll never be full. But God put that in us so that why? We can realize how far we are from God. We can realize what God has done for us as Christians. Then we can call out to God. And then God can extinguish our enemies forever. So God put this thirst in you so that you would want to be with him forever. It's crazy when you think about just that kind of stuff. Just those moments where you just feel dry and your soul is thirsting for God. And then you really find out that God implanted that in all of us because he wants us to come back to him. And I've just felt like, kind of in our season that we're at right now, I'll just say it like this. On Sunday morning when I was leading in the 11 o'clock worship specifically, I just didn't really have much to say. Not that my goal is up there is to say things, but a lot of the times I try to like kind of say things throughout the song that's kind of guiding us to where we're going as far as why we're singing what we're singing. Just for someone who doesn't know, I'm always thinking of something to say. I guess I could be comical about it because normally I'm always trying to think of something to say, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I could say like that. And then I just, sometimes it comes out wrong, or sometimes it's like Sunday morning, sometimes I just felt like God was kind of putting the mute button, and he was just saying, just don't say anything. Just be quiet, just sing the songs. But I just didn't have much to say, and it wasn't from a point of, hey, everybody's got it going on. And then Pastor Kevin gets up. I don't know if y'all are in the 11 o'clock service, but he extends an invitation at the very beginning of the sermon. Well, then my wife texts me, and she's like, I just felt like there was like just a lot of hurting people worshiping this morning. And the more and more I've thought about that, I feel like there's so much happening today. Whether it's a distraction of whether people want to be distracted by politics or COVID or the way that our culture is shifting or social media or some games on their phone or whatever it may be, people are distant from God and people are thirsty for God. Their lives are dry. There's not much going on. There's no color happening in their life. God isn't adding beauty. They're not finding beauty in their life because they're distant from God. And like I've told you 14 times, probably way too many times, what do we do when we're distant? We call out to God. So that's what I want us to do while we pray tonight. I'm not going to lead us through a time of prompting on different things that we can pray for. I want you to first and foremost, if you feel like you're thirsty for God, like you're distant from God, if you feel like your life is dry and there just hasn't been much of conversation between you and God, I want you to use this time, the majority of this time, to just sit silently, to listen to what God has to tell you, to pray, to talk to God, to bring yourself back. Do exactly what David says in verse 9. Flee to God for refuge. Because there's 100% fact that even though it might not be overtly a terrible thing from you, whether it's sin or whether it's just weights are keeping you away from God. But God's put that little homing beacon in you to bring you back. He's put that thirst, that desire in you to bring you back. So I'm going to pray over this time. You can come to the altar if you want. You can pray at your seat. You can just sit silently. But I want you to use this time specifically, if you feel distant from God, to just seek God as your refuge. Sit under God. Start your following of God. Just get yourself back close with God. You can think of it as a road. You can think that you're in the lanes and you start to drift a little, and now you need to just turn yourself back back in the center of the lane. So I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can just sit here and listen to what you have to say to us. God, I pray that we can sit quietly and just hear your voice. God, I pray that we can run back to you, that we can stake this moment right now as us getting back on track, us seeking refuge of you. And what's to follow is you defeat the enemies that we're dealing with in our life now. God, we know ultimately you will cut off all of our enemies. You will destroy all the adversaries that are after our soul. But God, we're seeking refuge right now for you to help us in the battle that we're dealing with right now. God, speak to us in this time. God, give us wisdom in this time. God, I pray we use every minute, every second of this moment to communicate with you, to give you glory tonight. I pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.